What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Wednesday, July 31st, 2019, the final day of the month. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the Rogue One, at Gary Whitta.
You're right, it is the final day of the month.
I hate that, right? It's scary.
August tomorrow.
Yeah, it's exciting, of course, because it gets us closer to Borderlands and other games, but it's also terrifying because you'll never get to live another day in July 2019.
It's I'm sad okay to with think that. About. I don't know about you, but I'm not really a big fan of the summer. I'm glad for the summer to be over. I'm excited to get into.
You got that snot nosed brat running around your house all day long.
I was gonna make this joke.
There's that. I also don't do well in the hot weather.
But it's SF. It's never. I mean, it's
well, no. It,
our
last,
hottest weather is the summer.
Week it was blazing hot.
The summer's way hot.
We're fortunate here that it doesn't get super hot. You know, it was like 110 degrees in London this past week. Europe's having a massive.
We had Cam and Chloe up who you met, and they were talking about how hot it was in LA, and I'm like, that's yeah, I'm never
hot,
going there.
Too hot for
never
me. Doing that. No, I'm my favorite time of the year is when you know when you go to like to Target or whatever store you go to,
sure.
And the Halloween stuff's out for the first time.
Yes.
Usually it happens around late August, early September, and
you go,
all the fun stuff is coming. Halloween,
fall,
thanks. Thanksgiving,
fall, pumpkin spice latte,
pumpkin spice lattes, gingerbread, peppermint, bullshit. I love all that stuff.
Me too.
Christmas, what could be better?
I know.
My favorite time of the year.
Well, Halloween's better than Christmas.
You're dumb.
Yeah,
dude,
come on,
dumb.
You get to dress up.
He's joking. He's trying to get. A
I'm not joking,
out.
Kevin. You know how I feel about this.
What do you typically do on Halloween? Do you do anything?
We sometimes throw a party. Did we throw a party last year? I forget.
Yeah, I think we did.
Did we? All right, cool. And but the problem is that we were traveling last year. Me and Nick were up in EGLX in Toronto. So we dressed as Ghostbusters because it was Halloween.
Oh,
and we did
right,
panels
of course,
and stuff. Yeah. But we like to throw events and do stuff like that. What do you do? You take the kids
trick or treat with the kids.
How does trick or treat work in San Francisco? Is it a thing?
Well, there are a couple of really good neighborhoods.
This is being one of them.
Actually, not far from here.
Yeah.
Where all the rich people live.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And they always put out a good spread, and they have good candy and stuff, and good, you know, they make up their houses really good.
I guess
we can go down to, we have friends down in Pacifica, which is just outside
that's
of the
a good
city.
One too. That's a good
and
one
that's
too.
A great, the whole neighborhood gets
I think
into
we
it.
Did do a party here last year, because I remember cutting through the neighborhood at night, right? And it was like, it looked like a movie.
Yeah.
It looked like a movie with kids dressed up, families out there, all the doors
here.
Open, lights on, whatever. What?
We didn't do a party here.
Last time we did a party here on Halloween. Not last year. Last time we cut through there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we do a party here this year?
Yes.
Really?
But you know it's complicated.
Fuck it.
Look at that schedule.
We'll just take Nick out of the...
Nick. I'm more worried about us being places, doing things.
Are we
we're
doing
always
shit?
Traveling, doing
you
stuff.
You want to look at the schedule? Look at the schedule.
Well, everybody, we'll get to Games Daily in a second. And I won't lie to you. It's a jam-packed news day. We really don't have time to waste. But I'm going to look here. Right now, the weekend of the 19th... Oh, no. That's EGLX.
Spoilers, Thursday, so we're doing
then 26th. I'm in New Jersey for a wedding. Yeah, we could do a Thursday party, like just do it for legit.
Thursday party?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to do one of those parties where we stay all night and then just
do the shows drunk
morning?
Or hungover, I guess, in the morning? I'm down?
No, you're not. No
well,
way.
We also have to do.
No way you're down. You're such a
I
liar.
Mean, you're right. I'm not down at all. There's no
why
way.
Why would you want to do that? It sounds fun.
Have you ever done an all night tailgate? Because I have, and this is what this would be.
I've done 24-hour streams before.
Yeah, but it's never fun to get drunk, then start sobering up, try to get drunk again. You're hungover, you're exhausted. You want to sleep back up, then perform on this show.
But why do you have to do all of that? Why not just have a party? Why does everything have to be on the internet?
Oh no! Whoa! We're having the party. Period.
Okay.
Full stop.
Good. Right.
He was saying, let's do a party on Halloween night, and then. Not stop partying and do games daily November 1st.
We're getting too old for that, Kevin.
Motherfucker.
But just have the party.
Give me 1 second. Dark Fate comes out on the 31st.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares about Dark Fate?
Oh, I do.
Nobody cares
right
about
now,
Dark Fate.
No.
Nobody cares about
May
Dark
I
Fate.
NBAC, never bet against Cameron. I am totally checked out of the Terminator franchise. I didn't even see Genesis because it looked so bad.
Me neither, man.
Yeah, no
but
reason to. Yeah.
I'm in for Dark Fate because Cameron
bro.
Is back at the wheel.
I mean, I like T1 and T2, but like, is he back at the wheel or is he producing
well,
it?
Well, he's there. Trust me, when Cameron's in the room, you're fucking listening to Cameron.
Uh-huh.
He's gonna be like when
Christopher Nolan was helping oversee all the Zack Snyder DC movies.
I'm sure it's a totally different relationship.
Sure it is.
But surely that's proof that Dark Fate will be good because the Snyder movies were fucking great, right?
Hey man, they had a unique voice. I wanted to see enough about all that. Today we're talking about Modern Warfare killstreaks, lots of EA tidbits, and our PlayStation 4 is going to cost more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can give us your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe.
I also just want to take a moment to thank
Amy.
I presume it's Amy Gilroy.
Yeah,
who's been sending you these wonderful Irish snacks.
Yeah, she sends us the patty box, right?
Are they good?
You wouldn't like them, but I would.
We don't have the refined English palate.
Do you have one, Kevin?
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. So when I was a kid, I grew up on a thing called Monster Munch. I grew up on a snack called Monster Munch.
And
this seems to be some strange Irish off-brand knockoff called Mighty Munch, which still quite cheekily has a monster on it.
You
that, hey, this is really supposed to be Monster Munch, right?
How do you like that, Kev?
Hot and spicy.
Everybody, I want you to know, if you're one of the people who hates hearing chewing into a microphone, I tell Gary all the time, don't eat on the show, and he always finds a way to eat on the show.
But if you go back and look at the chat, people love it.
Gary, it's because you just can do whatever you want. You can come in, murder a rabbit on the stage, and everyone's going, ah, it's Gary. He's just cheeky. What a cheeky fellow.
Gary gonna Gary.
Let's oh, God, I hate him. Don't make it a gif.
It tastes like a spicy ketchup. It's good. Yeah. It's good.
Housekeeping for you.
Join the dark side.
Fucking Jesus, God.
No, Miller, don't chew on the... Ah, you're doing it.
I don't like that at all.
You don't like that at all? It's like a little dry styrofoam that's been covered in ketchup.
If you really want the top of the tree, though, you've got to get the pickled onion flavor.
Oh, God. No wonder you guys lose every war. Am I right, Kevin? Housekeeping for you.
I feel like I'm more aligned with Kevin than anyone else at Kinda Funny.
The Wolfenstein Youngblood Party Mode featuring Andy and Nick being morons is up right now at patreon.com/kindafunnygames. You can get it at youtube.com/kindafunnygames tomorrow. Thank you to our Patreon producers for the month for the last time. Colton Yoder, Blackjack, and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Third Love and Upstart, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! Four items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
Now, if I'm lying, I'm dying. Greg said there's a lot of news. Four items. We have one of those tidbit stories that has like four different tidbits in it. So we got a lot of stuff to get to.
More everybody. News than it seems like on the surface.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get to it.
Number one. Let's talk about Modern Warfare Multiplayer. This is Tom Phillips over at Eurogamer.
My favorite.
I want your take on this, though, because I think we're having an interesting discussion, as we often do.
Okay.
This year's Call of Duty Modern Warfare will bring back killstreaks, publisher Activision has revealed. The rebooted boots-on-the-ground shooter is the first in a while to include the feature. Other recent games have used a simpler score streak system, which tracks other actions as well as kills. In Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2019, you'll be able to unlock the hulking juggernaut armor and drive a tank. But perhaps most eye-openingly, you'll also be able to call in a burning white phosphorus smokescreen. White phosphorus is an extremely horrible material I encourage you not to Google, and which you may remember from the harrowing scene in Spec Ops The Line.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right?
Williams is fucked in the head.
I know, right? This is why I can't talk to him anymore or look him in the eye. The chemical is banned for use against civilians, parentheses, but not soldiers, and its recent deployment in Syria prompted Amnesty International to suggest its use against the country's general population there constituted a war crime. Quote, cover the battlefield with white smoke flare canisters. That will disorient the enemy, Activision's killstreak description reads, and burn any that wander too close. The chemical is most frequently used as a smokescreen, as is described here, but it can also be an incendiary weapon, which does enormous damage to human skin. It's this latter application which was memorably featured in Spec Ops The Line, a game Eurogamer reporter Emma Kent has written about previously, and where its usage is questioned. Tom says, avoid the following paragraph if you don't spoilers. If you're listening to Kinda Funny Games Daily, I assume you've been around a long time. Hopefully you've heard all of us talk about Spec Ops Line, a game you should play. Kevin's shaking his head no, but Kevin, an idiot.
I like Spec Ops.
God dang you. He never played it. Kevin doesn't play games. If I don't force Kevin to play a game, he doesn't play it. And then even if I force him to, sometimes he's like... Anyway, Spec Ops Line is something we've been telling you for years since Podcast Beyond Days to play, so I don't feel bad spoiling it. Let's go. In Spec Ops The Line, the player is faced with an impossible situation where they must use white phosphorus in order to progress. But the player must also face the consequences of their actions, Emma told me this morning, and is forced to walk through a gory scene showing the civilians they killed with horrific chemical burns. As the decision to continue playing rather than walk away is the player's choice, Spec Ops asks whether the player is truly the hero and questions the uncritical use of warfare as a subject for light entertainment. I'm going to toss in here a little bit more about the other killstreaks. This is from Oscar over at GameSpot. All three of the killstreaks they revealed so far have been seen in some form or another in past Call of Duty titles. Juggernauts were used extensively in the Modern Warfare subseries, as were light armored vehicles. White phosphorus was previously used as a tactical grenade in the Black Ops series, where it caused, quote, a small amount of damage on detonation, but the framing of the weapon as a, quote, unquote, reward this time around paints it in a somewhat different light. GameSpot has contacted Activision for comment. In real life, the use of white phosphorus, also known as Willy Pete, against civilians and in civilian areas contravenes the Geneva Convention, thereby classifying it as a war crime. Some Call of Duty multiplayer maps take place in civilian areas, albeit without civilian characters present. Gary, I've dumped a lot of information on you. You, of course, are a smart individual. You've played Spec Ops Line before. Congratulations. Where do you come down on white phosphorus as a reward in Modern Warfare?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I really do think that these games have been, particularly the Call of Duty games, and especially what I saw, you know, all ever since the days of No Russian. Since the days of No Russian.
Excuse me. Maybe you shouldn't be eating these fucking chips on there. You know what I mean?
Just me, the problems go way deeper than that. Kevin. You know, I tuned out of these games a while ago. I didn't like No Russian. I thought it crossed a line.
So anything you've seen from Modern Warfare, is it in the same boat?
The most recent one, I think they're back again. I think they're looking for No Russian 2.0.
That's the whole thing, right? Because, yeah, it's meant to be a very visceral experience, a very personal experience.
In fact, they did it several times after that. I remember there was one where there was like camera footage of like a family walking down a street in London and getting wiped out by like a tactical nuke or whatever it was.
Modern Warfare starts with a terrorist attack in London that you're at Ground Zero for, and then it has
this is nothing new for Activision and the Call of Duty franchise. They've been poking us and the media for all going, how does this make you feel? Are you offended yet? What do you think? Have we crossed the line yet? And it's just, I don't know. It's a bit cheap. It's a bit cheesy. I always feel like when they do these very serious looking videos where the game devs sit around and go, well, we take our responsibility to reflect the horror and brutality of war very seriously. I personally don't think you can possibly even come close. And in fact, after that, I remember there was a very, very compelling Twitter thread from a former combat Marine. Mm-hmm. Who had served in Afghanistan and Iraq, who responded after the new Modern Warfare game was released with all the terrible footage in it, and said, don't even fucking talk to me about how you're trying to accurately portray the horror and brutality of war, because you guys have got no fucking clue. Nothing you can ever do in a video game will ever come close to what me and my friends experienced in actual war.
Of course.
You can't even fucking imagine how terrible it is. So don't even try to coast off of that. But to sell video games by saying that this is meant to be a serious, it's a joke. It's a video game, and I do think it's a bit irresponsible. You know, people will always enjoy shooting each other in games, but there are many ways to do that in a stylized way that's fun. I think if you're gonna do it, try and come at it from a different angle, like they did with Spec Ops. I think you can pose moral questions and things like that. But just try, but trying to do the like, oh, how horrible can we make it? Shall we kill kids? Shall we use white phosphorus? Shall we show people being tortured? Yeah. It's cheap provocation, and I've never been a fan of it. What's your take?
I'm torn. I obviously echo everything you just said of reading this. I've seen plenty of combat Marines, boots on the ground Army folks talk about like how weird it is, this juxtaposition of people wanting to go into it, right?
And you know, the funny thing is, you know, the combat Marines love playing these games. They enjoy playing these games. I think what they object to, and again, I don't mean to speak
for them. We're painting with a broad brush,
I'm just remembering what this one particular guy who was a serving combat Marine, who served in combat, and who was a Purple Heart recipient, got badly injured in a Taliban attack on his forward operating base or something like that. Who said he was actually quite offensive. These developers saying, "Oh, you know, we're going to portray the true horror of war." No, you have no fucking clue what you're talking about. So, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, don't worry about it. I bring you on the show to talk. I like it.
I think it's a bit of a bait and switch. I think they tried to cloak cheap provocation in an aura of responsibility, and we take this stuff seriously because that's what they have to do for the messaging. But I think deep down they know that they're generally, and I don't mean to offend anyone, generally somewhat immature player base just loves this shit. They get off on this shit.
But see, that, and that's where I'm torn, is that obviously Modern Warfare, Infinity Ward, and Taylor, what is it? Taylor Kurosaki, right? He's the guy who's directing it, right? He's the narrative director brought over from Naughty Dog. When that happened and he moved and he brought a couple of teammates over with him, right? It was this interesting thing of, okay, cool, like, what can you do there? What can you do in the first person shooter space? What kind of story can you tell? And when I talked to him about Modern Warfare, when I saw Modern Warfare at Judges Week behind closed doors and we got the whole run through of the terrorist attack, going through the house in night vision, killing the terrorists, you know, what's going to happen? You don't know who to, is this person going for a gun or is she going for the baby? That kind of stuff. And then on top of that, the freedom fighter scene of being a kid and your house is invaded by this Russian guy, right? And you have to stop him and you try to save your brother, try to save your father, but you're a little kid. It did put me on edge of like, ooh, is this just provocation? Are we just trying to make headlines? But it also made me interested in a way I'm not normally interested, right? I feel, obviously, you can sit there and we can go Call of Duty, fucking big budget Activision, blah, blah, blah shooter game, right? I think Taylor and his team aren't trying to do that with the single player campaign. I think they're trying to tell you a personalized story in the same way of not, we're going to glorify war. I think, honestly, they are trying to, when you play it, have you ask questions in the moment of what's going on. I think they're trying to push that narrative forward. I don't think they're trying to say, look how awesome war is and how awesome killing is. It seems to me they're trying to tell you a deeply personal, put you in this weird gray area space, similar to what Spec Ops did so well, right? And I feel that is what we want from games and what I want from games and what I want from narratives. It's what I, when I go to the movies, right, and I see a war movie, Saving Private Ryan isn't this, oh man, we're fucking killing people. This is great. You, like, it's them wrestling with, holy shit, what these people, what these boys are being put through to do this. I'd like to imagine Call of Duty can do that. I would like to imagine Modern Warfare is going to touch on that in some way. But this is the problem, is that you get to have that conversation with Taylor at E3. You see him on the IGN stage talking about what they're doing, pushing, blah, blah, blah. And then in the same game, different side of the coin, same game, you have a tweet go out from the Call of Duty account. It's like, everybody can use white phosphorus. It's a kill streak thing. Yay! And it's that, ooh, that tone doesn't match.
Yeah, they don't.
You
they
are
don't,
not
yeah,
matching.
It's jarring.
And it's, I get why they are different things. I mean, Call of Duty multiplayer and Call of Duty single player, for pretty much as long as we've known, excluding last year, right, is in fact different games. And so how do you do that? That, yes, you're putting out a game with kill streaks and multiplayer and all the stuff that people want. And like you're talking about, a fairly, you'd say, aged down, immature fan base just wants to run through, kill, get the drone attack, get the kill streak, go on about their way. And then package that with a game that I'm hoping for is questioning, making me play it and question things in the right way and making me go through and relate to something I couldn't relate to. Not to say it by any means that me playing Modern Warfare makes me understand what it was like to fight in Operation Iraqi Freedom or something to that effect. Not at all. But to get you in there and have you transported to a different place and feel at least something on the level, or feel some part of what they're feeling, right? I mean, that's what art does. It's supposed to do
that's,
that.
That's true. These kind of quasi-realistic military shooters have always been a little bit strange to me, in that they're taking something which in real life nobody wants to do, right? Nobody really wants to be in combat. Nobody wants to be shitting their pants, you know, in fear for their life. Nobody really wants to kill someone else. Nobody wants to see their best buddy lying, you know, with their guts ripped open, you know, screaming and you know, terrified and never going to see their kids again, and all the horrible things that happen in war.
Yeah.
To take that and turn it into something that you voluntarily do for entertainment. Ah, die, motherfucker. Yeah. That to me has always just been a bit weird.
Which is why I've never really connected with shooters, period, let alone, hey, we're trying to give you a World War II Medal of Honor. Right. Hey, we're trying to give you Call of Duty 4, right? Where you're yeah. like, there's nukes going on. It's yeah. like, that's never been my fantasy, right?
I do think there was a way to handle this. I'm not saying you should stay away from this space entirely again, but Spec Ops took an interesting tack on it.
And I think that's one of the reasons this one's getting so much blowback, is that a game did something different, gave us a shooter that made you think, man, am I the hero? And used this very specific thing in such a different way, right?
Right.
Like, I also think, even though we're sitting here and talking about white phosphorus in general and this being a killstreak thing, we're ignoring the fact that, of course, you're running around with automatic assault rifles that are used to kill people in mass shootings all the time. Like, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, we're cherry picking here of the horrors of these weapons, where, oh man, you're getting rewarded with this thing that, you know, can melt human skin. Yeah, but you're also using sniper rifles to blow people's heads off at a range and use drones to do airstrikes.
Exactly. It's like, oh, this is slightly less awful.
These are all...
This is awful, but in a slightly different way. So
these are all things that are meant to end life, period.
I am interested to see what... I might actually check this one out, because as nervous as it makes me, I do think there is a possibility that they can handle this well. I mean, the idea of playing a whole scenario, a whole campaign from the point of view of the kid on the other side. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you saw the Amazon Jack Ryan series, but that's what they did. They did a similar thing, that like the kind of the terrorist, you know, Middle Eastern bad guy.
Yeah.
Actually started the show from his point of view. He was like a kid in the 80s in like a Beirut or whatever, and his whole family was wiped out in an American airstrike. And you followed him through his life, and it showed, and it basically was a story of how he'd become radicalized. And so by the end of the story, even though he's blowing up, you know, pizza parlors in Boston and things like this, and doing terrible, terrible things, and you hate him and you want him to die, you want Jack Ryan to kill him. But at the same time, they actually did a good job, like you kind of at least understood where he came from, even though you didn't agree with what he was doing. You want, like, all the best villains, right? You understand, you can sympathize, like, you know, like Killmonger or whatever. You can at least, dude, I don't agree with what you're doing, but I at least understand why you're so fucked up.
All the villains, every great villain believes that they're the hero.
Right.
And if you can communicate that to the audience, right, to make us sit there and go, man, I get what you're up to or what you're trying, I don't agree with why you're doing your methods or however.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with what we saw of Modern Warfare, right? The new one is that, you know, the terrorist attack in London and then infiltrating this house and like infiltrating the house and in London, the terrorists is their home base, right? But not have them sitting there or standing around waiting for you. They're there living their life, right? They're there cooking. They're there having a conversation. They're there worried about their child upstairs. Like it has that twinge of like, okay, this seems like it could be interesting and put me in that question. Maybe we get it and we play 2 hours and it's like, oh no, it's just enter this place, kill these people, move on to the next thing.
I think it's a really interesting philosophical, artistic discussion to have. I think clearly film and television is, you know, no one ever, I mean, I think, you know, there are shoot 'em up type movies that can be irresponsible. But these days, generally, what you see are things that try to tackle these subjects with a bit more sensitivity, with a bit more sophistication. And movies and television, you usually just assume that they've got the best intentions artistically, creatively. Yeah. When a game comes along, we generally tend to think it's more exploitative, and I think that, and that again is just, games are a little bit hobbled like that. They're never really seen on the same artistic level as film and television, even though time and again we've seen games that demonstrate that they can and should be viewed, you know, just as meritorious as anything else.
That's the interesting thing about this, right? And you're talking about games, of course, being dinged for this, which is true, and obviously, but we have standouts. It's also the fact that it's Call of Duty.
Right.
It's Taylor at Call of Duty trying to tell this story. And you have to wonder, what if it wasn't Call of Duty?
What if it was some new franchise?
What if he went off and did was just a brand new IP, brand new thing, an independent developer, and was like, I'm going to make this game and tell this story. How would it be received differently? Because you are already having to try to roll
this
boulder.
The Call of Duty franchise now, again, ever since the days of No Russian, has a lot of baggage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I'll be interested to see if they can, or even if any of this matters. Look, this game's going to sell squillions of copies.
Yeah.
There's going to be a bit of controversy. Then it'll all blow over, and we'll move on to the next thing. The needle's not going to move. There'll be outraged think pieces in the mainstream media. Oh my God! Look at these terrible things that our kids are playing.
Yeah.
And then the next news cycle will roll around.
Exactly.
I don't know if this is ever really going to change anything, or again, if we should be playing these kind of games.
Yeah.
You know, obviously we have the right to play whatever we want. The question is, everyone has to make their own choice. Is this something I really want to play? Like, should I question the fact that I'm finding this fun to do, blowing away these terrorists in a safe house in London and stuff like that? It's a tricky one. One of my favorite games of all time is Rainbow Six Vegas.
Sure.
Great game, and I've always loved the Rainbow Six games. The Rainbow Six Siege is a great game, but there is, I do think you can enjoy those games, you can have a lot of fun without it turning you into a killer or making you crazy or anything like that. We all agree on that, but I do think I think that as journalists and as people that follow the industry and commentate on it and observe it and monitor it, do have a responsibility to continue to ask the questions. Should we really, is this really a good thing?
Well, that's what I'm interested about with Modern Warfare in particular, is it going to be fun? And I don't mean, is it going to be boring? I mean, like, I was on the edge of my seat, not in an exciting way, but like in a tense way, watching them try to take down this giant Russian guy who was invading their home, right? Watching the team go through and fight the terrorists in their home. Like, I think we're in an interesting spot with games where I know it sounds stupid, but games don't need to be fun, right? It's like I was talking about when I was playing Gris, or Gris, if how we used to call it, but Gris, right? And I was like, when we were talking about it on Gamescast, Tim was like, well, do you like it? And I'm like, I don't find it entertaining, but I don't know if it's supposed to be. Like, it's not meant to be. There's platforming, and it's super simple, so it's not like I'm supposed to be entertained the way I am when I platform in Mario,
right?
I'm supposed to return color to this world and feel an emotional connection and go see a solitude, right? I don't think that's a game you're supposed to play and be like, what a great time. Like, that's not what you're doing in certain games. So if this game is that uneasy feeling of being in an uncomfortable situation and seeing in some small percentage what that's like, or being faced with decisions.
Let me ask you this, Greg. If you were a 10-year-old kid,
yeah,
whose whole family was wiped out in Syria by Russian forces, and you saw your mother burned to death in a white phosphorus attack,
sure,
and your baby brother was shot in the head, and you came to America 5 years later as a refugee,
yeah,
and you found out that American kids were sitting around in front of their Xboxes, swigging Mountain Dew and eating pizza and playing a stylized video game version of your experience for fun.
Yeah.
Would you think that's cool?
I mean, of course not, Gary, but flip the conversation. What if you were a kid who grew up in Boston and your parents were killed in the Boston bombing at the marathon,
right,
and now you're going to start a video game with the terrorist attack? Would you think that was cool? Like, no.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's the thing of like, here, it's not even, I guess, do you think it's cool, right? Like, I don't, let's, Modern Warfare, right? I don't think starting it with the London terror attack they're doing, right, is like, wow, what a cool thing to do, right? If anything, it's almost a power fantasy, right? It's almost Inglourious Basterds, right? And let's stop right there in terms of going forward. But, hey, let's go, the Boston bombing happens, right? And we have to watch on the news and try to figure it out and see what, and these kids get caught in the boat and all this fucking shit, right? This is, the London bombing happens. It has pangs and ties and strands to reality, right? And so then you are then armed to go out and be the person who stops these people, right? I guess that's the fantasy there that they're trying to convey, right? And I don't think it's like the bloodthirstiness, I don't think, I can't imagine how different it is to be part of a terrorist attack or an army incursion or whatever, and then come back and have games that are somehow basing it on that, right?
If you're an army, let's say we've actually got a Marine recruitment office right down the street from here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone can walk in, you know, as long as you're of a certain age and physically fit, then you can sign up to join the U.S. Marine Corps. You know, we're too old and we're too fat, if you were to, and you see it at Comic-Con and PAX and E3, they have the Marine Corps and the Army recruitment because they want to get those young kids.
Yeah.
And I think they look at these games as a recruitment tool. All I'm saying is, if I'm a Marine Corps recruitment officer on the high street, and I've got one of those little tents that they have, you know, sometimes pop-up tents, and a 16-year-old kid says, I want to join the Marines. Well, that's great, son. Why do you want to serve your country? Well, I really enjoy playing Call of Duty and killing all those motherfuckers. I'd be like, maybe you're not the right fucking material for that. I mean, maybe you are. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, they want killers. I honestly don't know what the right mindset is to be a soldier. But I don't know if the best path into that is through thinking this shit is fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Because I'm telling you, no matter how fun you think it is, once they throw you into boot camp and once they throw you into combat, you're going to get a wake-up call real fucking quick.
Sure.
And you're going to be pissing your pants and crying for your mama and wishing you were back home drinking your Mountain Dew and eating your pizza. Because it ain't like the real thing. The real thing ain't nothing like what you're playing in that video game.
Yeah.
Anyway, this got serious.
Hey, man, that's what happens. Widow Wednesday. Anything can happen.
All right.
Let's get not serious and talk about your favorite company, EA. Number two on the Roper Report is the one with many, many, many subheads here. It's EA Tidbits. Of course, as you knew yesterday, we were talking about the quarter closing. It's all these financial reports are coming out. And EA did a call since then, and a whole bunch of people reported on it. And I have a whole bunch of different little things that we'll talk about as we go. Let's start with Eddie at GameSpot, who's talking about NBA Live being delayed. NBA Live is not a flagship EA Sports title in the way that heavy hitters like FIFA and Madden are, and it has a tumultuous history at the company. However, the strides that last year's NBA Live 19 made in a positive direction gave fans some hope that the series was back on track again. Now it appears something might be amiss or changing with the pro basketball franchise. EA announced today that NBA Live 20 is still coming, but it's been delayed due to EA's fiscal... I'm sorry. No, been delayed to EA's fiscal year 20, Q3, which means the game is now scheduled to release between October 1st and December 31st, 2019. A spokesperson for EA Sports told GameSpot that NBA Live will feature a quote-unquote different approach, but it's not clear if this is the reason for the delay. We're planning a different approach to NBA Live this year, and we will have more to share in the quarter ahead, the spokesperson said. Just a fun one there that NBA Live can't catch a fucking break.
It's a strange thing to say, isn't it, that NBA Live is not a flagship EA Sports title in the way that heavy hitters like FIFA and Madden are. It should be, right? In the NBA, it's just, if you think about what people say, like, what are the top three sports in America? You'd say, well, baseball, football, basketball, and football. You'd put all those three together. So the fact that EA does not have... that their basketball game is not considered a top tier one. To me, tells you that someone at EA, the EA fucked up basically, and they have done for a while now. They had that one game that was famously canceled. Right, it was that close to coming out.
Dude, that's like a story that just doesn't get enough credit in terms of being crazy. Is that at IGN, whatever year that was, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. We had the review
code.
You
had a build of it, yeah.
We had review code for NBA Live, whatever, and then they're like, you know what? We're not going to release this game. And you're like, oh, what? Like what? Like we have the disc to play here in the office?
Did we ever find out why?
I don't remember. That's too dusty for me.
I kind of admire it though. I mean, at some point, someone at EA did say, you know what? There's something wrong with this game. We can't release it.
And the argument always goes back to then is competition. And how, of course, remember how Sega and 2K at the time were pushing Madden so hard, right? And they had a cheaper price point, first person. And then they snatched up the NFL license exclusivity, and then all competition died around them, right? The reason NBA Live can't catch a break and can't get out of the get on the racetrack is because NBA 2K is so good.
2K dominates.
2K is so good. Yeah. Everybody adores that game and talks about how amazing it is.
Yeah. Great. And
NBA Live 13 was canceled, says Nanobiologist.
It was 13. Okay, yeah. So they cannot catch a break with these NBA Live games. And the thing is, it says it's getting pushed. You don't have a lot of flexibility to push release dates in sports because it's got to match up with people buy those games when the season's on.
Yeah,
these games are. I mean, Madden generally comes out right before the football season
starts.
Madden's
dropping this week.
Yeah. Right before the football season's a few weeks away.
Yeah, preseason's starting up here in a second.
So if you release late. I don't know when the basketball season. Are they playing basketball right now?
Finals for
idea.
Basketball were always right. Spring, so like it was summer, spring. So like, yeah. They probably just wrapped up, right?
So I'm not a sports guy. Not an American sports guy anyway. But it occurs to me that there's a window where these games are ideally released. And if you have to push it, you're losing a lot of your potential. Like, are people still buying Madden halfway through the season, right? No. I imagine they pretty much are buying it like when the season everyone's excited about football's coming back, yep. And you want to get into Madden.
Yep.
Halfway through the season, your team's probably shitting, not doing anything. You're not going to make the playoffs. Maybe you don't want to play Madden now. You're not going
to
pick it up.
Well, so there's a million other games coming out. You have to compete with all this other stuff.
You got to strike while the iron is hot.
Yeah. Here we're going to kick it over to IGN, where Alicia Judge is talking about why EA doesn't do more with the Switch. We're going to jump right into the quote from CEO Andrew Wilson. Anytime we're evaluating platform conversations, we're really looking at a couple of things. One, does the game really fit the profile of that platform in terms of the control or the community ecosystem? Two, do we think the community playing on that platform would appreciate the game and go there, or would they prefer to play it somewhere else? We have a lot of data that would suggest a great many Switch owners also own a PlayStation 4 or Xbox One or PC, and very often choose to play the games that we make on those platforms, even though they have a Switch and they enjoy a lot of great content on the Switch. No surprise there, but BJ Bernardo writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, do you ever see Nintendo Switch... The whole sentence, let me just read it as it is. Do you ever see Nintendo and Switch ever trying to create a beefier console like Xbox One and PS4 so they can get those bigger selling games like Call of Duty and Assassin's Creed?
No.
Obviously wrapped into this. No, of course not. Nintendo marches to their own drum.
Yep.
If they were going to change course, it would have been the Wii U. Right? The Wii U would have been the one of like, man, this didn't pan out the way we want. Maybe we should compete with Xbox and PlayStation.
Instead, they doubled down on the Wii U. The difference is they just got it right. As I've said many times, the Wii U was the Switch prototype they needed to make to get to the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was like a Switch 0.5 release. And you saw the potential, but it wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
But they to Nintendo's credit, they doubled down on it, and then they did hit the jackpot
fucking
with Switch.
Crushed it, yeah.
It's a good point, though. EA doesn't really support the Switch, does it?
Yeah, but it's because EA moves in such big units on these. Why would they?
Yeah.
It's the same.
There's a lot of money to be made on. Ask indie developers. There's a lot of money to be made on the Switch right now.
Yeah, but is there? That's the thing. Is I think to their point, I guess that's a bad actual example. I was going to say to the point, if I wanted to play Madden, I'd play Madden on my PlayStation 4, right? But that is actually not true because I'd rather have Madden on the road with me. This is my whole argument with the Vita, right? That the Vita could have been such an amazing experience for EA Sports games where I would have bought Madden on PS4, 3, 4, and Vita, and then I would have taken my career.
You're never going to be over the Vita, are you? You're never going to
Well, I mean, hey, you can sit here all and beat your chest talk about how great the Switch is, Gary. It's because it's built on the shoulders of a giant named the PlayStation Vita.
Fucking tell him!
The Vita is the reason the Switch exists!
Woo! Oh my God!
We proved it! We were the test. We were the beta audience. I feel for you PC players. You're out there trying every game for me, seeing what works, what doesn't work, and then I get the good stuff. That's what I did with the Vita for you Switch people. So you enjoy your Fire Emblems and Luigi Guigis.
So easy to push Greg's buttons, isn't it? Just you know where the buttons are. The Vita button, press it every time.
It's a sore spot.
Goes
it always
off, goes
will
off
be.
Like a jack in the box.
We should be playing Vita 2 right
so
now.
The Vita died so that the Switch might live. That's
exactly.
Your, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So we should all be thankful to the Vita.
100%.
Okay.
It's right to give Shuhei thanks and praise.
Did you order a light?
No.
I did.
I saw that, yeah. But that's because of your daughter more than anything.
Yeah,
right?
She really wants one. Yeah. I got a
don't get me wrong. I think the light's a great idea. It's just I'm super happy with my Switch. I don't need to.
Yeah, you don't need to. Your household doesn't really need a secondary. But you've got
and
Jen.
We have two.
You've got. Oh, so you've already.
We
got,
have two. Like, come
you're,
on,
you're,
now.
You're already like an elite, 1% household.
Exactly.
Why do
you know what I mean? I got Joy-Cons falling out of every drawer. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're good. You're good. No, it is weird. I mean, I guess it's not that weird. And I certainly. And yeah. No. The Nintendo's too smart to ever join. There's already a very pointless two-way race. Again, the Xbox and the PlayStation 4 right now, there's almost no difference between them in terms of what they can do. You make a choice based on the games and the platform and the ecosystem and just what, you know, appeals better to you. But it's very, very hard for the PlayStation and the Xbox, one more than the other, to say, well, here's why you should get an Xbox, right, versus a PlayStation. Or here's why you should get a PlayStation versus an Xbox.
That's why there's all these third-party deals, right?
They do the exact same shit.
We get the DLC early.
The Switch, however, can say, here's why you should get a Switch. Look at all this crazy shit it does that no one else is doing. They have some unique selling points.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in terms of like why more stuff doesn't come to the Switch, I think it's, you know, the Madden engine and all these different engines they've made have gotten so complex and so creative. You worry about what the Switch would have to sacrifice to run them at the quality that they're running on PlayStation. Switch on Nintendo.
If you can put Doom on the Switch and it runs pretty decent, I mean, I have a hard time believing that there couldn't be a perfectly playable, totally legitimate version of Madden on the Switch.
I am, of course, an asshole, Gary, and I am not a game developer, so I'm prepared to get the shit kicked out of me right now in every message board and comment thread in the world. I would say that there's more under the hood going on in Madden than there is in Doom.
You would say that.
I mean, I'm down to be corrected, but like, think about it. Like, Madden has the whole thing where there's now the physics engines, and that's applying to every character at every moment. There's AI for every player on the field of what they're doing. There's the, we're going to come back, we're going to look at the different camera points of view. Doom, of course, an amazing game that runs silly smooth and is so much fun. We've talked about this, but it's more anchored from one perspective. I'm making the moves. I mean, there's physics in it, but not to the point of making sure the ball is going to go where it's supposed to go, and if it hits the fingertip, it goes that way while that guy over there is getting, and then your defensive end is getting blocked.
I disagree. I don't think that EA decided not to put Madden on the Switch because they couldn't technically pull it off. I think they just ran the spreadsheet and said, we're not going to make that.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. No. That's the reason. No. They definitely could have put a version on there, but I think it would have been, we're going to bring it down to this. We're going to get knocked into the press because it looks like this. We're only going to sell X million of copies if we just keep going here.
Yeah,
we keep selling Juggernaut.
Are better allocated.
This wasn't
elsewhere.
An argument of like why they couldn't do it. It was just an argument of like, I think comparatively, I don't know if it holds water that because Doom did it, Madden could do it too and have a great, great experience.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. If you made Doom or Madden, write in and talk to me. What do you got, Kev?
Speaking of Nintendo consoles, you ever think we're going to get a Nintendo, like another Switch that's a little bit bigger?
You like know, an XL?
Like a Switch XL?
Yeah, but...
Oh, sorry.
All right.
Yeah, sorry.
That
listen.
Also has a place to play, like, to put in DS games.
No, I don't think you'll get that.
No?
No. Sorry.
I have a question about the Switch Lite.
Here we go, okay. Mm-hmm. I do think you'll get a big Switch eventually.
I'm excited about the Switch Lite. Why can't you dock it? Why not? Why wouldn't they make that available?
I assume because they're trying to bring down the price point and whatever, the little Switch in there.
Yeah, but what costs money to make it pluggable into a dock?
Yeah, but like it improves the quality of the game too. It goes from 720 on the little screen to 1080.
Right, that's true.
Right?
So that's true.
I imagine the dock itself must
there's processing
have
power in
some
there.
Yeah, but
power.
you would still sell the dock separately. They already do sell the dock separately. So why not just give players that option? Why not have that additional functionality? Sometimes you do want to plug it into the TV. 90%. I would say when I play, I never play the Switch in handheld mode. I always play it plugged into the TV, but my wife and kid love to play in handheld mode, especially my kid. My wife actually goes kind of 50-50. My kid mostly loves to play in handheld mode because she can take it into her bedroom, she can take it anywhere. I'm just saying, I understand why the Joy-Cons don't come off. I understand why the HD Rumble, things that cost money, they took those out. But like plugging it into this, literally the whole reason why it's called the Switch is that you can switch from handheld mode to dock mode. So maybe they should have called it the not switch.
I'm seeing a lot of
or something because like you can't do the one basic thing that was the key selling point of it. And it doesn't seem to me like it would have cost a lot of money for them to make the Switch Lite pluggable into a dock that you would buy separately. It just seems weird to me.
Yeah, that is very odd.
I think it's just.
I'm sure there's some hardware or something that facilitates it that was not. People there's got to be a reason
for
it.
People in the chat are saying that like the dock doesn't do any processing,
so it's just the switch over the thing or whatever.
I mean, it seems unlikely that Reggie or someone or whoever made the call in Japan, they were like, we could dock it. Doesn't cost anything. They're like, let's not bother. I mean, why not do it if you can do it? There must have been a cost
reason.
There's
got to be some connector in there that works. Yeah, exactly. It costs 50 cents and they don't want to fucking do that.
Maybe it's going to be slightly bigger or something like that.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it in terms of like the
size. When you plug it in, it's just the USB power connection that's connected to the dock, right? And that does everything. The USB-C connection is what connects it to the dock.
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay, so there must be something internal inside the Switch that facilitates the TV play with the enhanced resolution and stuff that they've taken out of the Switch Lite to get the price down. Because it seems like I as much as I'm excited about the Switch Lite, again, my kid's not going to care because she just wants to play handheld.
Sure.
I feel like it would have been nice. Maybe the next version of it, they'll add
control,
that.
Just buy a fucking regular Switch then.
But we have one.
Then buy another one and you would have had, you know what I mean? That's the thing here.
I just want it all.
They're not even trying to build a better mousetrap. They're just trying to sell you another mousetrap. You know what I mean?
But you should always be trying to make a better version of it. You should always be trying to make the best version of it you can.
They did do that, right? Isn't there one coming with a slightly better processor?
Yeah. I mean, it'll get these incremental upgrades. I mean, that's all it is. It's not a better processor. It's just more battery life.
No, it's a better processor.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, okay.
It's got better battery life, yes.
Yeah, but that causes the better battery life, the processor chip.
Yes, and that's why the old Switch, but now the new version of the old Switch in the all-red box has the better processor and now an even better battery than the Switch Lite.
Does the Switch Lite have better battery than the old Switch?
Yes, it goes old Switch, Switch Lite, new Switch. Huh. It makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Yeah. All right. We're good? All Lord right. of Pwn, you're wrong, says the Switch Lite most likely does not have a video out on the motherboard that would allow the video signal to go through the USB-C port.
Right, and again, to get the price down to $199, they probably had to strip every part that they felt they could do away
totally.
With. Yeah, that makes sense. That's fine. Look, they made a decision. Let's just make a handheld-only Switch for the handheld market. I think that's fine.
Well, I'm glad you're talking so much about Switch because we're going to keep talking about EA. It turns out, Gary Whitta, according to Eddie at GameSpot, live services make EA a lot of money. For the April-June quarter ended June 30th, EA made about $1.2 billion in revenue, which is up from $1.1 billion during the same quarter last year. Digital revenue accounted for just a little over $1 billion. And, I'm sorry, of the $1.2 billion total. So again, that. Digital revenue accounted for $1.049 billion of the $1.2 billion total, with revenue from physical game sales and other sources coming in at $160 million. Suck it, physical media. EA posted a $1.42 billion in profit for the first three-month period, compared to a profit of $293 million during the same period last year. Again, I'm going to read that again. EA posted $1.42 billion in profit for the three-month period compared to a profit of $293 million during the same period last year. The huge increase was due to a number of factors, including EA's decision to move some of its IP rights to its international HQ in Switzerland, as well as changes to the Swiss income tax rates.
Yeah, because why pay American taxes if you don't have to, Greg?
That seemed to have been benefited EA in a major way.
I'm telling you, all these fucking companies, Greg. Yeah. Did you know that Apple? Do you know that Apple is at Apple, right?
Yeah.
You know,
I've heard of Apple,
right?
Yeah, once or twice.
Did you know that their company headquarters is actually based in Ireland?
Mm-hmm.
Because they pay no tax there. They have
Aren't
an incredibly
sued,
complicated
right now?
Internal financial system where everything gets routed and processed through the Apple's base in Ireland. And in such a way that their tax attorneys have figured out a way that they pay almost no tax.
Of course.
All these fucking companies
pay
nothing.
You saw Rockstar earlier this week,
Rockstar,
we talked about it.
Amazon doesn't pay a penny in tax.
Yeah.
Apple, EA, set up in Switzerland. All this money gets routed through the fucking Cayman Islands, Luxembourg, Bermuda, all these fucking tax shelters.
Delaware.
All these fucking, that's where the credit card companies are based
in
Delaware.
If you didn't know, that's not a joke. If you ever look into it, a lot of companies are incorporated in Delaware because of taxes.
If you have a credit card, your money's going through Delaware.
I mean, Honestly,
because Delaware has very, very advantageous and generous tax.
And one of our stupidest decisions, right? We were like, do we want, we have to incorporate. Are we incorporating California? Are we incorporating in Delaware?
Yeah.
And we thought it, and you know, we're like, let's be upstanding citizens and incorporate in California.
Fucking
and now
dumb.
Look at us.
Now you, feel like a, now you feel like a sucker.
Getting, yeah,
rubbing
yeah.
pennies together. Trying
I know.
To
no, you want to be like Jeff, you want to, you want to be like Jeff Bezos earning $540,000 a minute.
God,
and,
so badly.
And not paying a penny in income tax. Because why should you? Why should you contribute? Why should you pay back? Why should anyone else have anything?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck all those other people.
Yeah.
Fuck public services.
Uh-huh.
Fuck schools. Fuck hospitals. Why do we need any of those
but
things?
But there is some fighting back, right? Like Google got like the shit suit out of them, and they like there was a giant fine they had to pay for last year.
I think they paid a $5 billion fine, which they probably had made back in profit before their lawyers even
sure,
walked out of the
but
room.
But that's still a big fine, and that affected.
Not for Google, it's not.
That's was not, for their stock.
That's
thing,
not. That's
that,
not.
That
it's not punitive
quarterly.
To them. $5 billion is nothing.
I mean, Kevin, sue Google for us.
Why?
For stealing Jared Petty. Debatable.
Oh, fuck.
That kind of thing.
That
do that.
That sucked. Can we
shut up. No,
money?
Don't say that on the record.
I'm going
to
buy another Google thing. Excuse me.
God damn it.
I didn't notice. I love that they moved their IP rights to Switzerland.
Switzerland.
That's such a fucking sleazy move. How fucking sleazy is that?
1.42 billion.
Lower than a snake's belly.
1.42 billion compared to 293 million.
So, holy shit.
As a slide released part of the EA earnings report also shines light onto just how substantial live service elements of the publisher games are to the company's bottom line. For the last quarter, live services, which include microtransactions and subscriptions, among other elements, brought in $504 million in digital net. For the trailing 12 months, live services racked up $2.461 billion for EA.
You think all these kids growing up playing video games, thinking that like EA and Activision, these companies, are these fucking dream factories where people are sitting around, you know, on Razor scooters and bouncing balls off the wall and going, oh, how can we make our games even more delightful for our users? How do we push the boundaries of creativity? It's not that. It's a bunch of fucking sleazy lawyers sitting around in a corner going, see, if we funnel our money through Switzerland and then the Caymans, we can pay no tax. Fucking high five. That's what's actually going on at these companies. That's what
the
they're good at.
The developers are sitting around, how can we make the games more fun and do
the
that
developers
stuff?
Are.
Yeah, just making sure you're painting everybody the picture here.
All right.
So I don't want you to throw the baby out with the bathwater here, all right? Are there a lot of fucking sleazy lawyers? Yes. And as I said when we talked about the Rockstar
how
one,
do we find
hit us up. Where
yeah,
are you?
About to go.
Help kind
how
of funny.
Do we find
help me funnel my money. I'm sick of paying all these taxes if nobody else has to. Gary Whitta probably doesn't pay a fucking cent either.
Wait, no, what? Are you kidding me?
You're fucking putting it all through some Book of Eli charity.
You should see the fucking tax check I write every April. It's no joke.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
We should compare notes one day.
All right.
Okay. We're all fired up today. Believe it or not, still more EA tidbits for you. Need for Speed and Plants vs. Zombie games are coming. This is Oscar Deus at GameSpot. EA has confirmed it will release a new Need for Speed title soon. The publisher said in an investor call that it plans to launch the new game before the end of March 2020. Quote, we'll be delivering many other new experiences to players throughout the remainder of the fiscal year, said EA CEO Andrew Wilson. We'll take the wraps off our new Need for Speed game heading into Gamescom in a few weeks. We also have plans for a Plants vs. Zombie shooter title coming to console and PC later this year.
Do you think it's strange that EA continues to press ahead with the Need for Speed franchise, considering that, like, when's the last time there was a Need for Speed game anyone gave a shit about? It's just been dud after dud after dud for years and years now. I guess they must make money.
Is that the thing? They got to keep going, right? There must be a hardcore drive.
No, but
there's
dozens of EA franchises sitting around.
Road Rash. Where the fuck's Road Rash?
Where's Road Rash? Where's any number
Do
of
Sim
EA?
Do SimCity, right?
Right. I mean, there's so many EA franchises just kind of sitting around. Need for Speed, though, they consider
it had a movie.
It had a movie, which was also a dud.
Yeah.
Right. Need for Speed is fucking dead on arrival. Like no one cares about Need for Speed games. I actually love them. The last one that I really liked, the last really good
there was
one,
a good one on Vita, and Need I'm not even making a joke.
Oh, again. Need for Speed Hot Pursuit 2. That was the last good one. Uh-huh. The last one that I played, the most recent one, I can't remember. It was Need for Speed Payback. And I tried to get into that because it seemed like it had a good kind of Fast and Furious type storyline.
Sure.
It seemed like it could be fun. It had like cool heist missions and stuff. But I got bored with it really quickly. The Need for Speed franchise is fucking dead. I don't know why EA continues to kind of try and bring it back to life with the paddles. Clear! Boom! No, it's still fucking dead. Let's release another game. Let's hope this one works. What is going on at EA? They must make money. They must make money.
Yeah, they've invested a lot of money, I'm sure, into the tech and the engine and all this other stuff. And they want to get to the same reason why they keep making Just Cause
just
games.
Just bring back
no offense,
Burnout.
Kev.
It's not fucking difficult, Greg.
They burn out. People are gone. Play Dangerous Driving.
I played Dangerous Driving.
Sorry,
I
didn't
and
have
I
fucking
it,
leaderboards
but it was
on
not
Epic.
Burnout. Bring back Burnout. It,
guess what? Nothing will be Burnout again. Every stop, just stop trying.
Bring back all the original people.
Oh, here we go.
The people that
are
making Dangerous Driving, why do you think they're making it? Because they want to make Burnout, but EA won't fucking let them. So bring them back. You don't think if EA called the Dangerous Driving, people would say, hey, we're bringing back Burnout, you want to come back? You don't think they'd all fucking be on the next train? Of course they would.
No, they have morals unlike you, all right? They talk shit about EA.
Bring
back
Burnout. We want it.
Maybe this Need for Speed will be the
hashtag
Burnout you want.
Bring back Burnout. Let's
Man,
get it trending.
There's a lot more Need for Speed games than I thought.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, too many.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's been a ton, yeah.
Look at them. Need for Speed, Need for Speed 2, Need for Speed 3, Hot Pursuit, High Stakes, Porsche Unleashed, Hot Pursuit 2. 2002, that was the last. They've gone almost 20 years. That was the last good one. Underground 2, Most Wanted, Carbon, Pro Street, Undercover, Shift, Nitro, World, Hot Pursuit again rebooted, Unleashed, The Run, Most Wanted again rebooted, Rivals, No Limits, Need for Speed. They just rebooted the whole thing and just called it Need for Speed. Need for Speed Payback, that was the last one that I played.
But you think you're some kind of fucking expert over here. You're just telling which ones have sucked for 20 years. You don't know what you're talking about. You know?
Hot Pursuit 2 was good.
You know, again, we still have more to do here.
SSX! Where the fuck is SSX? Bring that back.
Didn't they try?
I thought
there was a Wii one.
Like, On Tour was the last one, I think. It was years ago.
Hold on. Need for Speed. It's also the thing of, you say this, but you wouldn't buy it. You wouldn't play it. Ubisoft made your fucking, hey, jump off the top of this snowy thing. Nobody cared.
Yeah, but that was no good. Nobody wanted that game. We want SSX.
What was it? Steep?
Yeah, Steep. That's it.
Steep. That was no good.
Just about the one.
Right, here we go.
Find the franchise.
There it is.
So Need for Speed Payback.
Here we go. Here,
I'm here are Metacritic's, right? Need for Speed Payback on PlayStation
2012 was the last. Oh, so Blur and on SSX in 2012, that was the last one. But these games were no good. They need
like
to bring it back
for
and make
the record
good.
To set you right, Gary Wood. It looks like Need for Speed Rivals was the last critically acclaimed one. It had an 80 on Metacritic.
Okay.
60s for
Hot Pursuit 2 was the last one I enjoyed.
Hot Pursuit, yeah. That's good. That's doing well. All right, moving on. Number three. That Trump tariff we've talked about before might make your PlayStation 4 cost more. This is Eddie at GameSpot. PlayStation consoles might get more expensive for shoppers in the United States. During an earnings call today, Sony Chief Financial Officer Hiroki Totoki said it will need to increase the price of the PlayStation consoles sold in America if President Trump's proposed tariffs on electronics made in China, including game consoles, do indeed go through. This was reported on by the Wall Street Journal. According to the Wall Street Journal, most of the components of the PlayStation consoles are made in China. Quote, we believe and therefore have told the U.S. government that higher tariffs would ultimately damage the U.S. economy, Totoki said. Earlier this year, Trump announced a plan to increase tariffs from 10% to 25% on electronics made in China and shipped to the United States. These export tariffs are not finalized as of yet, and the U.S. and China are coming back to the negotiation table this week. The new comment from Totoki comes after Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo jointly released a statement opposing Trump's tariffs. A 25% increase in consoles to match the tariff cost would, quote, likely put a new video game console out of reach for many American families who we expect to be in the market for a console this holiday season, the companies said in their letter. Nintendo is already reportedly preparing itself for the tariffs by moving manufacturing out of China for the new Switch consoles, including the Switch Lite. Microsoft, too, is working on a new console, Project Scarlet. Xbox boss Phil Spencer has said the price of the console may depend on what happens with the tariffs. More government bullshit
don't
ruining
me,
your video.
Don't tell me politics doesn't impact us. Here it is right now.
I know.
We're
right?
Going to be back to the times of $599.
That's the question from Fendi, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey guys, Sony recently stated it might raise the price of consoles if Trump's tariffs with China go through. Do you guys think with the expected higher price of the PlayStation 5 and tariffs cost, we might experience another PS3 $599 situation in the near future? Thanks for everything and keep up the great work, Fendi.
Can't rule it out, can you?
No, you can't. I think that Sony understands the $599
for them
meme.
In particular. They
I have
they
to imagine they'd be like,
there.
We got to fucking eat it. It's definitely not unheard of, if not usual, for console manufacturers to eat it.
I mean, we're still talking about it now. There's still
Ridge Racer.
Giant enemy crab, right?
Right. Historically accurate.
The historically giant accurate Chinese crab. Battles. Hit the weak spot for massive damage. We all remember it. Ridge Racer.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this would affect it and when it goes. I think they'll back down. I think this negotiation table stuff will get it settled.
Do you think that was the biggest train wreck conference of all time, or the Jamie Kennedy one?
I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, how do you want it? What are we judging the train wreckness?
If it's the one that makes you cringe the most,
yeah, like, but I would lob out Mr. Caffeine for Ubisoft. Remember that? This reminds me of another game. And he did it like 15 times during the fucking thing. You're like, oh my God. And he came out, he's like, I'm Mr. Caffeine. We're like, who the fuck are you? Who the fuck is Mr. Caffeine? And then even that, the Wii Music thing. Remember when they debuted Wii Music and the drummer's like, you're just fucking swinging Wiimotes around. What the fuck is wrong with you people? A lot of bad conferences.
We have had some legendarily bad press conferences.
That Konami one.
What was the Konami one?
They just came out at E3 and just talked at a podium. Awkwardly. Like, what? The Switch one from Japan where we were all like, what the fuck?
The Pokemon one that just happened.
We didn't watch that.
Do you remember the Ubisoft one for the Avatar game and they had James Cameron come out and he just basically told you the entire plot of Avatar. It took him like 20 minutes and it was so boring.
Did you see
that? And I love Cameron and I even liked Avatar, but fuck me, I did not need to see the guy stand on a stage and tell me the entire story of
two
Avatar.
Two clips that I think are worth watching. Number one, definitely in this vein. Did you ever see the one where Tom Hanks came out at a Sony CES to talk about Sony?
Yes.
And he like totally just rips them apart during it because he didn't read the script and he's making fun of it.
And of course he's Tom Hanks, so what are they going to do? Hey, do whatever the fuck
he wants.
America's
sweetheart. And then also, I'd never seen this, but did you ever see this David Letterman interview with Michael Keaton the night before Batman released?
No,
in 89.
No.
Michael Keaton's sitting next to David Letterman and Letterman's like, all right, yeah, the movie comes out tomorrow. Everybody's super excited. Like, you know, they're talking about the movie and he's like, oh, and the Joker's in it. Yeah. He's like, oh yeah. So who's the Joker? Like, what's the Joker's relationship? And Michael Keaton's like, oh, well, it turns out he's the one who killed his parents. And he goes,
right.
Wait, I guess that's a kind of a spoiler. And the whole crowd groans. And they're all like, oh! He's like, I kind of gave away the plot of the movie.
The Tom Hanks one I really loved recently, and God bless him, he came out, he was on either Kimmel or he was on Fallon.
Yeah.
And he came out to promote Toy Story 4. And just because he's Tom Hanks, what are they going to do to him?
Yeah.
He pulled out all of the official Disney talking points that the publicist had given him.
That's awesome.
You must mention these things. Whatever you do, don't mention these things. And he just read them all out because he's Tom Hanks and who gives a fuck?
You seen that one of Tom Hanks where the couples get taking their wedding photos and he's like walking by and he just stops. He's like, can I be in the photos? And they're like, yeah, Tom Hanks.
If I were Tom Hanks or Bill Murray or Keanu Reeves, that's all I would do. Yeah, I wouldn't even make movies anymore. I would just wander around photobombing people and say, hey, you want me to, you know, chill out with you for a bit? I'll take pictures.
You can do it now, Gary.
I'm not famous enough for that.
Keanu Reeves is like, nah, fuck that. I'm going to get really good at a bunch of cool stuff and do movies about it. With the, you know, what's the one who throws knives and shit?
Number four on the Roper Report, and the final one, Red Dead Online has left beta. Today's update to Red Dead Online brings a host of new gameplay, including new cooperative story missions, free roam activities, and the addition of poker, alongside a range of updates and improvements that strengthen and stabilize.
That was a long beta, wasn't it? Like 6 months or something?
Oh, yeah. The foundational world of the Red Dead Online experience. A massive thanks to everyone who participated during the beta period. Your feedback has been instrumental in helping us fine-tune the game so far with your many suggestions implemented in today's update. And we will continue to implement more of your feedback in future updates to come. This is just the beginning. The future of Red Dead Online not only includes continued improvements to the core elements of the world to make every aspect of the game fun for all kinds of players, but also brand new experiences that establish a deeper, more immersive connection to the world and your character. You can read about it, obviously, over anywhere, Rockstar, IGN, whoever. Rockstar pointed out new co-op missions, new free run missions, dynamic events, and more. Gary? I'm excited to see how many people flock back to Red Dead Online, but I'll have to go talk to people, and they're so far away. If I needed news that was more close to us and say that I could read right now, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Before I get to out today, let's talk about our sponsors. Up first is Third Love. You know them. All the kind of honeys are wearing Third Love bras for a lot of reasons, but mainly because they're comfortable and they like them and the service is good. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. Skip the trip. Find your fit with Third Love's online Fit Finder. You order and try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. You answer a few simple questions and you find the perfect fit in 60 seconds. Over 12 million women have taken the quiz to date. It's fun and it takes less than a minute to complete. Plus, there's a 100% fit guarantee. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if they don't love it, return it and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. I've been told these are hands down the most comfortable bra you'll ever own. Straps that won't slip and tagless labels so there's no itching. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now they are offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Next up is Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your FICO score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help pay off high interest credit card debt. When I took out my loan, this did not exist, and I had a bad credit is what the percentage on it, and it hurt, and it took a long time to pay off. So don't do that. Do Upstart. Upstart goes beyond the traditional FICO score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter interest rate. Upstart believes you're more than a credit score. They believe in you and understand that. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate in just a few minutes without affecting your credit score. The best part? Once the loan is approved, most people get their funds the next business day. Over 200,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards, student loans, and fund their weddings, or make large purchases. Free yourself from the burden of high-interest credit card debt by consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is ranked number one in their category with over 300 businesses on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate takes only a few minutes and it won't affect your credit. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Out today, Crystal Crisis on PC. Solo, Islands of the Heart on Xbox One. Pilot Sports on Xbox One. Now, Gary, this sounds like a game for you. A Touch of Home, Oi Governor. London Detective Mysteria.
And it's on PC.
Yeah, of course. The Tower of Beatrice on Xbox One. Stand By on Switch. Copper Bell on PC and Mac. Rap Simulator on PC. Road Rage Royale on PC. Wait, whoa.
These two sounding, Rap Simulator and Road Rage Royale.
Throw that away. Kevin, I need to see what Road Rage Royale immediately. If this is 100 bikes with chains, if we're doing that.
It's not going to be Road Rash. It's going to be something else. But let's take a look.
Minoria on PC comes August. Oh, that's a new date. I don't know why I put it there. But okay, and then Bear With Me gets a new episode and a complete collection bundled today on Switch, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. New dates for you. Minoria comes to PC August 27th. Newt 1, kind of like Rogue One. Newt 1. Maybe there's a lawsuit there. Releases August 30th on PC, Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. Silver Chains comes to PC on August 6th. Lonely Mountains Downhill is getting a open beta via Steam August 8th through August 11th. Star Trek Online Awakening beams down to PC on September 10th and releases on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One at a later date. When Awakening releases this fall, players will embark on a mission to recover stolen technology with the help of Lieutenant Commander Paul Stamets. That's right! Kind of funny best friend Anthony Rapp from Star Trek Discovery. There's a We Have Cool Friends from Kevin. Show this. This is a complete fucking lie. You're going to tell me you have Road Rash Royale and it's little fucking
Road
RC
Rage
cars?
Royale.
Boo. Boo.
Oh, it could be fun.
Boo.
Reminds me of those old Super Sprint games.
Yeah, okay. Remember? I see that. Yeah. Stygian Reign of the Old Ones descends upon Steam on September 26th. Oh. And then Monster Hunter World Iceborne arrives on September 6th on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, which I think we knew. However, the Steam version is coming January 2020, and a lot of you PC players are pissed off about
it. Can I share with you a trailer for a game that is you've probably never heard of, but is this as of this week, it's become my most anticipated game?
Gary, I would love it if you did that.
Kevin, I'd like you to pull a trailer, please, for a game called Trans-Siberian Railroad Simulator.
Jesus Christ. While you do that, I'll tell you the deals of the day. PlayStation Plus has August games announced. It's Wipeout Omega Collection and Sniper Elite 4. Remember, if you're a PlayStation Plus member, Tuesday you'll be able to download those for free. If you're a PlayStation Plus member and you have no interest in them, still do it. Go redeem them. You don't have to download them, and they're in your library forever.
The Kevin? Trans-Siberian Railway.
Railroad or Railway. I forget which one it is. Wow. Yeah, the first one there.
Trans-Siberian Railway. 552,000 views. God bless you, train
you
nerds.
Put the sound on.
Is this the one that's the longest?
What the fuck?
Like train, like it crosses the first.
So you're a Trans-Siberian railroad driver, and you are transporting contraband across Siberia.
Wow. Okay.
Full interactive cockpit.
You've been doing you're already off the
I've
fishing
been into
game.
The train games, but watch this. This takes it to the next level. Just wait and see what this happens in this trailer.
I got guards and shit.
Can you guys
coming.
Hear?
It's real light, but yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, I don't. Yeah, it's fine. I get the picture. Oh my god, my train's in trouble. Fix
train's
it.
In trouble. You got to fix the engine. Survive extreme weather.
Oh my god.
Just
oh
wait.
My god.
Wait.
For sure, people are gonna attack you, right?
Oh my god. No, not people. Wolves, Kevin.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Right,
Kevin. This isn't an insult, Kevin. This is a job I think you'd be good at.
Train?
Yeah, taking a train across the Siberian tundra.
You're drinking booze. You're fighting wolves with chainsaws.
Yeah, just what I want. I have a train conductor.
Well, I mean.
Oh my God! Look at all these antelopes.
Mooses, crashing into mooses.
That's why you can't
drink
and drive.
There's no way, right? Like that would just take them out.
Wow. Oh yeah, you'd have no. The train wins that battle.
If you have enough speed.
This does seem interesting.
It does, right?
Greg, you got one.
I'm very excited about it.
I got what now?
Do you want to get really into this game or what?
No, but I want to watch you play for sure. But I want you to have a little conductor hat. Can I? And I'll come back from the dining car all the time with food for you.
I will come back and play that on the on this channel if you want to.
I do 100%.
I've become a bit of a train game expert on my channel.
Wow, look at that!
Oh yeah,
making big moves.
Been playing Train Sim World.
Is that good?
How accurate?
Oh yeah, really fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Last night I went from London Paddington to Reading, and I arrived at the station with 1 minute to spare.
Poof.
Oh, it's on PlayStation 4, you know. Get those trophies.
How are the trophies?
I didn't look into them, but okay. Whether it's an easy plat or not, I don't know. I will tell you though, quick plug, if you want to come to my stream tonight, twitch.tv/GaryWitter, I'm going to be giving away 12 codes for Train Sim World.
Wow.
On Xbox One, on PlayStation 4, and on PC.
Look
come
at
join
you.
Me tonight, 8 p.m. Pacific.
Do they have to subscribe? Just be in the chat?
No, just be in the chat. The good people at Dovetail Games hooked me up.
Yeah, they're really nice, right?
Yeah.
You guys killed the questions. Of course, it was a jam-packed news day. I want to give one that's very specific, Gary. And then EJ, you have this gaming addiction question I like. I want to get to that tomorrow. But for you, Gary, the 2038 Pokemon CEO writes in. It says, Gary, as a screenwriter, do you purposely write in potential memes? Is this something you can or can't control? I asked over last week's Bethesda account issue. I feel like it was overblown because it was too easy to meme. When you're writing a script or anything, are you putting in things that you think would be funny to be broken out or like to be like, are you trying to write a good story, but are you putting in any Easter eggs, things you might actually
No, do? Not deliberately. I think you can't I think one of the things that we've learned from the internet is you cannot force memes.
Sure.
You cannot
I've tried.
You cannot set out to say, I'm going to make a meme. Right?
Yeah.
Like when I did, if you're not making moves, you're standing still.
You knew that was going to go.
No, after the fact that you kind of go, someone's going to gif that or whatever, but
Corey.
You don't, but I wasn't sitting here thinking, I'm going to say this so that someone will gif it. You
I
know?
Feel like in the video, you can see, the first time you do it, you can see yourself realize.
The light bulb go
see
off.
That
and
little,
he looks
see that little twinkle?
Yeah. Yeah.
That little twinkle. But like another one, when Fran asked me, no, it was Fran or Tim, I can't remember. It was Tim. Tim asked me who my favorite... There's none left, Kevin. There's more bags in the kitchen.
Yeah, but we keep them on the high shelf so Kevin can't get to them.
That's good. That's good. He got you, dude.
Wait, what did Fran do?
Tim asked me what my favorite My Little Pony was.
Yeah.
And I said Rarity because she's fancy. And the next thing you know, that's gone. That's a meme.
Sure.
But it wasn't intended to be.
Yeah.
And I think that the only true memes are the ones that genuinely happen organically.
That's fair.
If you set out to make a meme, you're just asking for failure.
It's true. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice. I read here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Tyler from Ontario, Canada, needs help on the Xbox One. His Xbox Live username is one word and awesome. Fats Beardo. FATSBEARDO.
Do you think he actually is a fat bearded guy?
Yes. I'm a goddamn Sony pony if there ever was one, but damn it, I borrowed my friend's Xbox One and he says I can keep it for a while. While smack my ass and call me daddy, I'm having all kinds of fun. I'm playing Forza Horizon 4 a lot right now, but I have Game Pass, so let's fucking go. Am I right?
Yeah, he is a fat bearded guy.
Show Fats Beardo. We're looking over here on there it is. Tyler Fats Beardo.
Tyler Arrow.
Lover of comedy, gamer, geek, foodie, Liverpool, FC, Philadelphia Flyers, San Francisco
49ers.
How the fuck does any of that make sense?
You see, if you've got the unified branding, so easy to find you.
Yep.
For you.
Everybody take a lesson from Fats Beardo. And Fats Beardo, as soon as you want to start selling a shirt that's Fats Beardo, I'm buying it. All right?
Okay.
Community, design a good Fats Beardo shirt for him. Everybody also hit him up on Xbox if you want to play games and have fun. Believe it or not, on the very long show we're having, I have a required reading for you, a fascinating article from one Cecilia over at Kotaku, who writes, how over 25 people got scammed into working at a non-existent game company.
About this.
I'm
going
to read the
story.
Intro to you, but again, go check it out on Kotaku. Brooke Holden had all but given up on breaking into the video game business. She had gone to university in the United Kingdom to study game development, but realized partway through her degree that she hated coding. Holden had also come across horror stories about labor conditions in the games industry, where employees regularly work 60 to 80 hour weeks, and thought to herself, no way, not me. But 1 year into a job as an office manager, Holden, 26, was still dreaming about getting into games, maybe applying for some sort of team management position. Quote, professionally inexperienced but passionate team manager looking for a hobby project to help support and manage, she posted to a subreddit for assembling game dev teams. It was just a lark, yet a half a dozen replies accumulated under the post. One in particular stood out from an account with an active Reddit history. I'm sorry, an active Reddit history on developer recruitment boards. The poster's name was Kova, and he told Holden that his small team of three developers had recently ballooned into a 48-member operation that needed a manager, quote, on everyone's ass. Holden was exhilarated. On June 22nd, 2019, she signed a contract with Kova's company, Dracor Studios, accepting the position of junior production manager at $13 an hour. There was just one problem. Dracor Studios didn't actually exist.
Yeah, I saw this.
And the story goes on from there and gets weirder and weirder. It's a good read. Everybody should check it out. Gary, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. Some guy writes in and says, Grizz is pronounced Greece. It's Spanish for gray. Yeah, it's fine. Everybody keeps correcting different ways, though, and I don't know what to say anymore. I'll never talk about the game again. No.
Gree. Spanish way.
Gree! Axel 360 has a correction to a you're wrong. It says it was actually NBA Elite 11 that was canceled, not NBA Live 13.
Okay.
I don't know who to believe anymore. Everything sucks. Spencer, yeah, it's not a you're wrong. We can look it up on what happened. Nanobiologist says breaking news: Ubisoft acquires mobile publisher Green Panda Games. It's a 70% stake in Paris-based studio, could raise to 100% over 4 years. Green Panda Games was founded in 2013 and has published a number of free-to-play mobile titles, including Sushi Bar, Terrarium, Bee Factory, Golf Inc. Tycoon, and others. Good for you, Ubisoft. Oh, here we go. Chitty Chat Chat says Gary mentioned he bought a Switch Lite mostly for his daughter, but can he clarify what color he got?
Yellow.
Did his daughter ever agree to wait longer for the Pokemon one?
She ultimately decided that she went for the instant gratification.
Yeah.
And yellow's her favorite color, so we got a yellow.
It all wins. Alex says FIFA on the Switch uses a different engine compared to the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. I was right. Good job. Sneaky Pat says, Greg, you're right about the Madden engine being more complex than Doom engine. I've worked in the Madden engine made by Page 44. It's not so much the complexity of the engines, but the tools that are necessary to meet the requirements of each game. Nanobiologist says last SXS game, you know what I'm trying to say, 2012, titled SSX and featured world environments mapped by NASA satellites. Zyger says Steep was Ubisoft in EA. Correct. I wasn't trying to say it was an EA game. I was just saying Gary should just play his fucking little going down on a snowboard game.
I would just say as well, if I could wave my magic, if you're going to bring SSX, bring back DJ Atomica as well. Because SSX is nothing without DJ Atomica. He was the guy that did like the kind of the broadcast from the mountain. The SSX3 guy.
Oh. And then Nanobiologist gets the final one and says, maybe we're all wrong. NBA Elite 11 and NBA Live 13 were both canceled, according to Wikipedia. So which one were we talking about? Probably Elite 11, but who the F knows? Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. It's been a banger of an episode. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, head over to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a few bucks. You can ask us questions. You can be part of the show. You can be your wrong. Or no, not, that's not right. You can be hit of the week. You can do all that stuff. Tomorrow's going to be me and Andrea. Friday, it's me and Tim. Remember, tomorrow is also the Kinda Funny Games cast at 2 p.m. patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Gary, you're streaming tonight. twitch.tv/GaryWitter.
twitch.tv/GaryWitter, 8 p.m. We're going to play some marbles on stream,
ooh,
which you really need to get
yeah,
going
over
here on
Kinda
Funny.
Yeah,
a lot
yeah.
of fun. Everyone enjoys it.
Yeah.
Everyone in the everyone in the chat can play.
Okay.
And basically, whoever wins each marbles race, it's completely random.
Yeah.
There's no skill involved at all.
Yeah.
It's completely random. Whoever wins
my favorite kind of game.
Right? Whoever wins each marble game gets will win a code of the for the platform of their choice.
Oh, neat! That's how you're doing it.
That's
very
how we're
cool.
doing it. Yeah.
Very cool. I hope Cool Greg wins again.
I know Cool Greg was so funny. Leah won her first game last night.
Wow! Look at
first
that
first ever game of marbles.
Nepotism.
You got to get into it. No, again, there's no way for me to rig it.
Uh huh. Sure, there isn't. Just like the UK elections, am I right? Brexit. Hugh Grant. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time. It's been our pleasure to serve you.